This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and for our next conversation, we are leaving the bitter cold of Illinois for the tropical warmth of Hawaii. It's where you used to be able to find a bird known as the akikiki. It's native to the region, but in the last 20 or so years, they have all but disappeared. It's said that only five remain in the wild. Their survival has been left to the care of conservationists who have been building up an insurance population of akikiki by collecting the remaining wild birds as well as unhatched eggs. And my next guest helped in that process while she was getting her doctorate. Maria Costantini is currently postdoctoral research associate for the Illinois Natural History Survey. She joins me now. Maria, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a balmy 21 degrees as we are going to air today. I'm sure you are missing Hawaii, but maybe you can just start by telling us what exactly is, and I'm going to try and say this right. Please correct me if I'm wrong, the akikiki.
It's close. It's akikiki. There's a little bit of a in Hawaiian language, it's a called an akina at the beginning of the word, and that gives it a guttural stop. So it's a hard word to get. But yeah, akikiki, it is a little forest bird or a passerine, a songbird that is a part of the Hawaiian honeycreeper lineage, which is, as you introduced, is they only occur in Hawaii. So they're endemic to the Hawaiian Islands.
I understand we have some tape of the akikiki. Let's listen to what. All right, pretty standard bird sounds.
Yeah.
Put the bird into context for us. How important is it to Hawaii?
Yeah, so as you heard, that it doesn't have some beautiful, amazing song, but it is like they have once you get used to working with them when you're out there, and obviously only a handful of people in the history of the world has actually really gotten to spend as much time with these birds as I have. Their little call is starts to sound very sweet and very iconic once you get used to it. When you're hearing something all the time, you definitely can get very used to it. But in general, it does look like as far as appearances, it looks like a very standard drab bird. It's pretty gray. It has a white breast. It has actually a really lovely pink bill and pink feet. But they are full of character. Some of my friends that I've worked with have likened them to watching little T-Rexes pulling apart their prey, because these are insectivores. They eat insects almost exclusively. So once they catch their prey, they hold it down with their feet and tear it apart, almost like I said, watching a dinosaur. And they are very charismatic. You can watch them for several minutes at a time, because they'll just their English name is the Kauai creeper, so they are known to creep up and down the branches of the trees in Hawaii and make those sweet calls that you played earlier.
So what is endangering the population of this bird?
Yeah, so what is endangering not just this bird, but several Hawaiian honeycreeper species. This one in particular is just the one right now that's on the very brink of extinction. There are many things that are driving them to extinction. Some of them are very standard, like habitat loss and invasive species. But the major thing that is driving them to extinction is this disease called avian malaria, which is very similar to human malaria. It's also passed along by a mosquito species through this Plasmodium parasite. And this avian malaria disease is actually pretty widespread throughout the world. But in Hawaii, mosquitoes were only introduced a few hundred years ago. And so the akikiki, as well as other Hawaiian honeycreeper species, have not evolved the resistance to be able to ward off avian malaria. So it's been a pretty, relatively new threat that they've had to face.
You know, I don't want to be flip about this. With humans, we have a distribution of a lot of malaria nets, right? Bill Gates has been involved in this work. I imagine that doesn't work. So what can you do to, or what is being done to prevent the spread of avian malaria?
Yeah, so it's one of those things that you have to balance the science versus what is kind of, you know, accepted. With people, with the culture, with the community. And so what's the focus right now on the main way that we're trying to battle it, besides, as you mentioned earlier in the introduction, is that we started these insurance populations to try to stop the species from going immediately extinct in the wild, is this tool that is using Wolbachia, which is this bacterium that occurs naturally in insects. But what scientists, and I am not an expert on this part of the science, but what scientists are working on doing is using that Wolbachia bacterium to cause basically what people are terming as mosquito birth control. So most insects have this Wolbachia in their gut, and it can have a lot of different effects for the insect. In mosquitoes, a lot of the times, it has a role in reproduction. And so by changing out the Wolbachia for a different strain of Wolbachia, you're effectively causing these mosquito to become sterile. So what they're doing is breeding male mosquitoes, only male mosquitoes, and creating them with this new Wolbachia strain that will cause them to be infertile. And then you release them out into the wild. They breed with the wild female mosquitoes, and then they cannot produce offspring. And so obviously this is not something that's like you do this once and it's done. It's something that you're going to continuously have to do, is rear these mosquitoes and release them to the wild. And the idea is hopefully slowly drop down that mosquito population in these key habitats for these forest birds.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. We're speaking with Maria Costantini, who is a postdoc research associate at the Illinois Natural History Survey. She previously worked with catching an akikiki, an extremely rare bird found in Hawaii. It's so rare, it's actually on the brink of extinction. Conservationists have been collecting some of the remaining birds in an effort to build up what's being called an insurance population. Maria, how did you get involved in this work?
Yeah, so back in 2015, I was just kind of, I had my master's degree in biology, and I was doing what a lot of people with master's degrees in biology who are interested in ecology and conservation do as they're trying to get that forever job. I was bouncing around to seasonal work, and I landed a job on the island of Kauai in Hawaii as a research assistant with the Kauai Forest Bird Recovery Project. And I worked with them for a few years, and then I just fell in love with the birds and the work, and I decided to go back and get my PhD, and I developed my entire dissertation working on these birds and trying to learn as much as I can to help inform conservation decisions that are going to be made about them in the immediate, currently what is happening, because as we've talked about, they are so close to going extinct. So this work is happening now, and it's dire.
Yeah, I mean, boy, talk about working on a current event and the clock's really ticking down. Talk about finding the akikiki. What was that? How did that happen? How did you go about seeking it out?
Yeah, so when I started back in 2015, it was critically endangered back then, and there were 500 of them, and you could almost see them every time, any day you went out, even though they were so rare. we knew generally where they were, because these birds tend to hold, as well as a lot of species, a lot of birds, they tend to hold pretty strict territory, especially through the breeding season. So we knew generally where to find them. And then fast forward from 2015 to about a year or two ago, the population dropped so precipitously that it went down from about 500 birds down to less than 50. And then this past year, less than 10. And then, you know, the past couple of months, less than 5. And so even though they've been dropping so quickly, there's been a crew of scientists out there this whole time following them and watching as birds disappear before our eyes. So we have general ideas of where they may be. So basically we went out, my old boss called me out to the field. Even though I'm working in Illinois, she, it's the most probably random flex you can have, but I am, the world expert.
You can say it. You're the world expert.
I'm the world expert in capturing Akikiki. Nobody else has caught more than me. So she was like, we need you to come out here, help us catch one of the last few birds. And so we went out to this area where we expected to see two of the last five. And we went out within 5 minutes, I'm not kidding. Within 5 minutes of getting to camp, one showed up. And I hadn't been out in the field for a few years. And I was like, am I going to even remember what they sound like? Am I going to really, you know, is it going to come back to me? But as soon as I heard one, I was like, that's it. That's an Akikiki. And it was there. And we caught it the first full day that we tried to capture it. And it's a stressful thing. You catch this little bird, and then we have to helicopter it out of the field and to a site off down in the lowlands, because we work up at the high elevation sites on Kauai. We have to helicopter it out to the lowlands, and then eventually it goes with the San Diego Zoo. They have a facility both on Maui and Big Island, and they get added to that population. As I mentioned, we expected to find two. We only found that one, and we spent the rest of the week out there searching for that second one, who was out there 2 weeks before we showed up. That we knew there were for sure two, and already within those 2 weeks, that second one disappeared.
Wow. So only a couple minutes left. I imagine you've developed an emotional connection to these birds. Can you just talk about it? I mean, are you at all optimistic about their future?
Yeah, I definitely have an emotional connection to them. It's weirdly enough, I've now that I'm not directly working with them, it's almost like a coping mechanism where I often try not to think about them, because it really, really does hurt to see a species go extinct before your eyes. That's not something I ever expected in my life to happen. But, you know, as conservationists, you always have to have some hope, because why else would you be doing the work you do? So my hope is that we have this Wolbachia technique that I mentioned a few minutes ago is going to be successful. They already have the mosquitoes that are the populations breeding in captivity, these captive mosquitoes, and they're working on releasing them. So I'm hoping that we get this figured out and we can keep this insurance population of Akikiki that's in captivity with the San Diego Zoo. Obviously, the San Diego Zoo, world renowned, they're experts on it. We can keep them healthy and enough time that we have so that we can release them back into the wild where they belong after we get this avian malaria problem under control.
Well, I wish you best of luck in your work. Maria Costantini is a postdoctoral research associate at the Illinois Natural History Survey, but she is also, as we have heard, one of the world's experts on the Akikiki.
Got it.
I get it yet.
Yes.
In Hawaii, a bird that is, very, very close to extinction. Maria, thank you so much for sharing your work with us today on the 21st Show. This is great.
Thank you so much.
And that's all the time we have for our program today. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Let us know what you thought about today's program and suggest anything you see in your area that we're not that the media is not focusing on. You can email us, talk@21stshow.org is the address. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.